This is All Things Considered on KNKX. I'm Ed Ronco. One of the stories we had hoped to bring you before the COVID-19 pandemic took hold in Washington State was about a new exhibition at the Tacoma Art Museum. Forgotten Stories focuses on the art funded by the government during the Great Depression, murals, paintings, and works commissioned for post offices, schools, and other public buildings as part of the massive effort to help people earn money again. There's some new unexpected significance to an art exhibit about a time of economic calamity in our country. So instead of just playing that interview we meant to bring you a few months ago, we thought we would check back in with the interim chief curator at the Tacoma Art Museum, Margaret Bullock. We called her at home.
Hello, this is Margaret.
Hi, Margaret. It's Ed.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
We had a really great conversation a while back, didn't we?
We did. That was a lot of fun back in February, right before the world changed a lot.
Yeah, and the museum had to close, like so many other things, at least temporarily. I want to talk to you about how this exhibition has sort of taken on new meaning since the world has changed. But first, let's listen to that conversation we had in the museum right before this exhibition opened as it was still being installed. Here we are back in February, and if I remember correctly, the very first thing you showed us was this enormous painting from Renton.
So the first work to our left here is actually from, it was the Renton Post Office mural. And when the Renton Post Office became a different function, it was moved to the Renton Public Library. And then when the library moved to its new building, it stayed in the office building with the city of Renton. We thought it was a crazy request, and I had to write to the mayor of Renton and all of these things, and they were so excited and so generous.
It looks like coal miners.
Exactly. And actually, that's part of the history of Renton, which I didn't know until I started researching this mural. It's like, wait, why are there coal miners in the Renton post office? And the post office murals, they usually reflect the industry of the area or what's going on. There actually was coal mining in Renton.
These works are huge, feet by feet in dimension, yeah. But they also strike me as the kind of thing people overlook.
Yes. I talk to people, I go into these post offices, for example, and I'll be standing there staring at this work and taking pictures and taking notes, and people will come in to buy their stamps, and they'll all kind of stop, and they'll look at me, and then they'll look up, like, what is she staring at? And I get the comment all the time, it's like, I never noticed that was there, or I found some of them, people have made up new stories about them. So there's one in Oregon I was looking at, and the postmaster came out, and he told me this whole story about how it had been painted in the 1970s, and it was the postmaster then, and it said very clearly in the corner, 1937, you know, and the artist's name. It was just so funny. It had been kind of given a new life by the people that live with it.
All of these murals all have a very similar look, and that surprises me because these were artists all over the country. Were they constrained? Were they told you have to kind of make it this way? Or was that just the art of the time?
Those works, since they were so public and they were in federal buildings and they wanted to be very careful about what messages they were sending, there was a committee that chose the subjects for these. And they could micromanage it all the way down to the smallest details. So I've seen ones that were as specific as that child shouldn't be wearing that kind of dress, change the dress, you know, that sort of level of specificity.
What made you want to do this exhibit? And I ask because this is different than a lot of, the Smithsonian says we're putting something on tour, or a collector says I have a lot of Munch or something. This feels like something that came out of the museum itself.
Yeah, it's actually part of my history. I've been working on it. Actually, I started doing this work on bits of it about 18 years ago, and it's been sort of following me ever since. And I just got fascinated by the fact that it had been lost, and I'm a research geek, and so the idea that there's all this information out there nobody knows anything about was just like catnip to me. And so I was living and working in Portland, Oregon for a while and at the Portland Art Museum. And that's where I started the work and did a lot on Oregon. And then moved away, went to another job and thought, well, that's that. And then came back to the Northwest. And I know a couple people here who've been involved with me in Oregon and they started kind of prodding me. It's like, you know, there's a bunch in Washington, too. Nobody's done that much on. And then we rounded it out to the rest of the region.
If we hit the economic skids again as a country and there was some sort of need for a vast national recovery, I feel like there would be loud voices saying something like this is a frivolity, is excess, and shouldn't happen. Were there those voices in the Depression?
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly the longer it went on and the more involved the U.S. became with World War II and the kind of changing over to that with federal money. There's definitely those voices, but early on, not so much. There's really a understanding that there's just millions of people that need work, and artists are among those people that need jobs. What they were really trying to do, when you look at the documents around that the administrators were pulling together, it wasn't just employing artists. They realized that art could have this sort of power in people's lives, and it could help lift their spirits, maybe. And they also, some of the administrators just really felt that art was as important to everyday life as food and shelter, and that it was a necessary thing for the human spirit.
So that was mid-February, and we're back on the phone now with Margaret Bullock from the Tacoma Art Museum. You called art a necessary thing for the human spirit. I really like that.
Thank you. I think it's true then and is still true now.
The exhibition is about works of art that were created in the Great Depression. We didn't know it when we were talking in mid-February, but it's become all the more relevant today.
It's one of those topics where it's historical, and so you feel like you're kind of working alone in archives and sharing information that may or may not interest a lot of people, and suddenly it's on everybody's minds. And I received just two articles for it just this morning from people talking in the national press about, you know, is it time for another New Deal?
We heard you say in that interview from February about how long you've been working on this exhibition. You mentioned 18 years, so you're pretty steeped in this research. And I wonder, as you've been experiencing the pandemic along with the rest of us, have you thought back to some of the things you learned getting this exhibit ready?
Yeah, in interesting ways. I mean, just that idea that art can be a way to support people, you know, that idea that it's a profession that needs support and help. And I think, you know, just to recognize how important it is for people still and in these moments, that it isn't something that you just have in the good times, that it's something people really come back to and rely on in difficult times. And, you know, we just see everywhere, every feed I follow, every Instagram, every Facebook, every video, you know, that people are sharing, there's artists involved in some way.
I imagine people are pretty hungry for that right now, and it has to be difficult and different not to be able to just throw open the doors of the museum and say, well, come on in.
Yeah, it's fascinating that even we're having all those discussions, of course, about when we do open the doors, what does it look like? But it's also a sort of, is it finally a moment that museums can really use their collections in new and interesting ways, because we have all these things that we hold that are about our mission, that are really the symbols of what we believe in and that are treasures from our community. And many museums are in this cycle of where you always have to be offering a new special exhibition to get people to come or to be interested. But really in this moment, so many have pivoted to their collections and what they can do. I'm hoping for all of us, it's a way forward to really use all those works that are wanting to be looked at, I think.
What happens if the exhibit can't reopen in time for people to see it?
Well, you know, the reality is this work doesn't disappear. Much of this work belongs to museums and is on view in regular rotations. It's in their online collections. And there's still lots and lots of work out in the community. That's one of the things we really wanted to draw attention to, is how much of it's still right in everybody's backyards, in their post offices, in their schools. So it's not gone. It would just be kind of changing where you go looking for it.
Margaret Bullock at the Tacoma Art Museum, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully someday we'll meet up again in the actual museum.
She's the interim chief curator at the Tacoma Art Museum. You can see some of the works in the Forgotten Stories exhibition and hear Margaret describe them on our website, knkx.org. That's also where you can link to the museum's other online offerings.